I hid my face from thee. Listen at this. How long did he do it? You know why he turned back? Because his love for them was so great. He didn't stay in that place. He turned for a moment to calm down, and then he turned back to them and he dealt with them. The Bible says, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee. All right, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 9. We're going to see God again dealing with his people and how different they deal with God. Now listen at this, because if you just read up a little bit, look, verse 16 says, of the ninth chapter of Nehemiah, verse 16, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. Listen at verse 17, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Now, while we're reading about historical Israel, couldn't some of that apply to some of us at some point in time in our own walk with God? I mean, there are times we had our necks stiff and our hearts hardened and we would not obey God. We didn't do what we know he told us to do. We would not yield to him and surrender to him and submit to him. And listen at this. He sent Pharaoh. I mean, they dismissed all of the miracles that God had wrought in their lives. And I mean, with all of us, when God shows us his wonderful love and kindness and his grace and his favor and his unmerited love and favor to us, we sometimes take that for granted and think that he ought to do that in spite of. And yet we forget that what he did, he didn't have to do. He sends Moses to Pharaoh in Egypt, tells him to release his people, let his people go. He brings them out of bondage because after 430 years, he hears their cry and he finally answers them. Now they get out of it. They are delivered from it. They aren't even across the Red Sea, for they're telling Moses, you should have left us. Every now and then, I thank God I'm not Moses. I thank God I'm not God. Do you know that God knows there are some folk who just don't want to do better? God has some people that when he pulls them out of their mess, delivers them, bring them to another level, they're still looking back and wanting to do and be back down there in that muck and mire that he pulled them out. They don't have sense enough to enjoy being elevated and brought to another level, to another place in God. They'd rather be back in the comfort of their sins and their shortcomings because it's easier for them to deal that way. Now look what they did. They hired them. Hire. It's one thing to go back. It's another thing to get somebody to take you back to the mess. Look at what the text says. They hired, if you will, somebody, as they said, they refused, neither were they mindful of the wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and their rebellion. In their rebellion, appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Now, when you are out of the will of God, and you don't want to be in the will of God, it's amazing how you associate with other folk out of the will of God. Because you know other folk out of the will of God aren't going to be talking about the will of God. So when it's like when you know you're wrong, you get with some other folk who's going to support you in your wrong. You don't want to go where you can get no real answers. You don't want to go where nobody's going to tell you, now, baby, you're wrong. You need to do such and such. You want to go there with somebody, well, I understand. I've been there too. And so when you really want to change, you need to get around folk who are in the place where you want to be. Don't get around folk who are just going to support you in your wrong, because it's really not going to help you. It's not going to get you out of it. It's not going to make you progress further. You're going to have to look at that. But when you appoint folk to take you back into your bondage, that's saying to God, look, I thank you, but no thank you. I'd just rather stay in the stuff I'm in. I want you to see this. As we move on to biblical demonstration of kindness, I just want to pull up one for an example since our time is short tonight. If you will, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 28. Familiar scripture to the saints. You'll know Paul was on his way to see the emperor and to be sentenced, as were the other men on this ship. And they passed in a place where the ship got stuck and it broke up, and they found themselves on a little island called Melita. And the text reads as this, Acts 28 chapter verse 1 and 2. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. They escaped the sea with their lives because some made it on broken parts of the ship. Some were able to swim, and they all made it safely because Paul had a dream and told them if none would jump overboard, stay together, they would all make it safely. And so they did. But verse 2 says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. There's another translation, I think Life Application or somewhat, says, the barbarous people showed us unusual kindness. Now, look at the situation, because barbarous people does not suggest that they were barbaric, that they were inhumane and uncivil, but it says that, and the reference is that they did not speak the language of the Jewish people and or the Gentiles. In this case, they spoke different languages, and so they were called barbarous people. Now, though they didn't understand the same nor speak the same language, these islanders saw and knew that these people's ship had been shipwrecked, and these folk came out of cold, chilly waters. It was still raining, the wind was blowing, and the least that they could do was start a fire for them to help them be warm. Now listen at this, because I want you to understand this. There were many ships historically that got shipwrecked in this strategic point, and they were not unfamiliar with helping folk. That was something they did whenever that situation arose. But I want you to see something here as well. When they helped the people, they helped the people first before they ever tried to judge the people. These people, because many, this was the path to the journey to the emperor. These were, again, were familiar ships. They knew that were ships carrying prisoners and murderers, muggers, robbers, rapists, etc. But here again, when that need arose, they immediately took care of the needs. Later, they're going to bring some judgment on them, but the first thing they did was took care of the need. Let me tell you about kindness. When people are hurting, they don't need your judgment to be passed on them when they need help. You know, regardless what they were still that wet or dry. One of the things the father never did was throw in his son's face, "I told you so." When the son came to himself, lost everything he had, was down in the pig's pen, and gathered himself together and went back home, he went back home to a father who was going to show love and kindness to him in spite of the bad decisions he's made, in spite of his present plight. He knew that love and kindness was going to be supreme above all of his sorrows. And he went back because he knew he was not going to get, in the midst of his failures and his faults, somebody throwing in his face, "I told you so." First thing the father said, get a robe, get some slippers, get a ring, kill the fatted calf. Everything it had to do was with him being celebrated, not him picked apart and torn apart. The reason why a whole lot of us can't be the kind of blessing that God wants us to be is because sometime when folk fall, slip, miss it, come short than where we are, we elevate ourselves to the place of judges and think that we are worthy to pronounce judgment on somebody else. Now listen to this. If these folk who couldn't even speak, and this is another thing, you don't have to say nothing to be kind. I don't have to speak your language to show you kindness. They spoke different languages, but they saw the situation, they saw the circumstances, and they immediately dealt with the issues at hand, and it was meeting the needs in a spirit of kindness. I don't have time to deal as much more with that as I'd like to, but I want you to see something else, because I want to go through a few more scriptures. First of all, you can't release kindness until you regard kindness. You've got to regard kindness before you can release kindness. And the word compels us. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, as we walk through the word and just get an understanding of, again, how we are to act. Colossians 3 and 12. It says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Verse 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Verse 14 says, "And above all these things, put on charity," which is love, "which is the bond of perfectness." Listen at this. Now here, the word is simply saying you have got to learn to put on as a coat, as a covering, as the word says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. I'm holy positionally, not because of my acts or actions, my thoughts, my ambitions. I am holy because I belong to God. I'm holy positionally because I am covered by His blood and in covenant relationship with Him, so He sees me as holy. But I'm not just holy, I am beloved of Him who is holy. Now listen to this, because of what I am, I'm cool to put on bowels of mercies. I mean, that is deep and abiding mercies. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, going the last mile, not just another mile, but the last mile for one another, and forgiving one another. And it says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Bottom line is, when you get to the end of it and all the talking and discussion is done, somebody ought to receive forgiveness and somebody ought to give forgiveness. When it's all said and done, when you get through pointing the finger and it comes to the bottom line, it's like, hey, if I've asked you to forgive me and I mean it from my, you can't get in there just, well, you don't mean it. No, you don't want to forgive me, just say that, but you can't tell me I don't mean it. It's not your place to judge whether or not I mean it when I say I'm sorry. It's your place to forgive. So many saints are going to miss it bad on that one issue. Right now, I mean, blood pressure going up, everything else, because they all wrapped up in not forgiving one another. I want you to see something else. Romans 12 and 10, right quick. And see, notice too, when you don't forgive, you give the enemy much play to do a whole lot in your life against the will of God in your life. Look at Romans 12, verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Now, when we have the kind of affection, kindly affection, showing kindness and mercy and all of these other consideration, etc., and then we do it in love, listen at this. The Bible says, in honor, preferring one another, that is seeing my brother or my sister the way God sees him or her, and that's loved. Now, he might not love some of the acts or actions, but he loves the actor. Y'all catch that when y'all wake up. And so I've got to get beyond the acts and the actions and love the actor. In other words, I've got to love the person in spite of their problems, in spite of their hang-ups, in spite of their issues, because I am not in a place where I can judge, since God gave me a renewed place and stance and relationship with Him. It is because He forgave me that I am supposed to operate in that same reality and not cause myself to be elevated above where God has placed me. And I am to show that in honor. See, you know, if we honored one another the way God would have us, we would have more power to do the work of God in this ministry and in this world more than you could ever know. But you know what our problem is? We don't understand that if we don't operate the way God wants us to operate, there is not going to be productivity and fruitfulness, and we'll get to that in another verse too, because what God's going to show you is that you can't work opposite of His word and still be in His will. It is His word and His will that shows you His way. And it is His word, His will that shows you His way and reveals His works. All of that's a part of what God has for us. And it comes out of issues like kindness. That's again a part of it. 2 Peter chapter 1, right quick. And when you look at this, you're going to see something interesting again about this text. Now look at what it says, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at 5. And it says, and besides this, 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen at this word, because if you are in Christ Jesus, these things are in you, but they may not be activated. Because it says in you and abound. So if it's in you because of your position positionally with him, because it is him and he is love, so you will have divine love in you. All of the things and the characteristics of God, it's in you because of who you are connected with him as a reflection of him. Listen at this. It's in you, but again, it may not be activated in you. Now listen at this, because this is what's important. It says that they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. So listen at this.